Hello, my name is Stacy, and I'm happy to welcome you back to another edition of Angus Talking Newspaper, your audio source for local news, stories, and updates from across the Angus area. In this edition, we'll be sharing a variety of news, community stories, and features to keep you informed and connected. From the 24th of April, read by Julie, 1st of May, read by Gwen, and the 8th of May, read by Fiona. There will also be a fun article about International Tabletop Day, read by Lindsay from TNF Soundings. We hope you enjoy the selection that we've prepared, and as always, thank you for listening.
Good afternoon. This is Julie reading from the Angus County Press from April 24th. Vote topples SNP group by Liam Rutherford. Angus Council's SNP administration has been toppled in a no-confidence motion defeat. A special meeting of the full council held on Tuesday saw councillors vote 14 to 13 to remove the SNP administration from power. A new Conservative, Labour and Independent coalition administration totalling 13 councillors will now take control of the 28-member local authority. Former SNP deputy leader George Meakin, who stepped down from the post and the administration earlier this month, is set to become the leader of the new administration. Mr. Meakin said the complexities of various working relationships in the ruling group had become too significant to overcome. It led to the requisition request for the special meeting. Conservative councillor Derek Wan will serve as deputy leader. Another special council meeting will be set to decide other senior posts. Until then, all scheduled committee meetings are set to be delayed. During Tuesday's meeting, Councillor Wan accused the administration of faltering and focusing on the wrong priorities. He also criticised Councillor Bill Duff of accelerating its decline. However, Mr. Duff defended the SNP administration and cited the new $66.5 million Monifieth High School campus and Arbroath's Places for Everyone project as major achievements. But this was not enough to secure the votes that would have saved the SNP administration. £1.9 million for upgrades by Mark Dowie. Angus Council has received funding to invest in upgrades to the charging network for electrical vehicles across the county. The local authority will share the £1.925 million EV Infrastructure Fund grant for the upgrades with Perth and Kinross Councils. Ambitious plans to enhance the charging network across both council areas were unveiled earlier this month, which will see an expansion of the network and ensure motorists without access to off-street parking in urban and rural areas have access to nearby charging hubs, either in car parks or on-street. Perth and Kinross Council are the lead authority throughout the procurement process and the delivery of the project. The contract spanning 15 to 20 years will involve the supply, installation and maintenance of existing and new EV chargers. A dedicated back office team will manage the network, including tariff collection, usage data, payments and maintenance. Councillor Mark MacDonald, Angus Council's Communities Convener, said this is a fantastic opportunity for Angus and Perth and Kinross as we improve our EV infrastructure, building on the clean growth and low carbon development and innovation work we are delivering across Angus. I'm excited to see the benefits this funding will bring, especially for those living, working and visiting our rural areas as we deliver an accessible EV charging network. Businesses on awards shortlist. Angus businesses have again been shortlisted for this year's Scotch Pie Awards. Arbroath-based Kepti Bakery, We Cook in Carnoustie and JM Bakery are among the list of 58 of Scotland's best butchers, bakers and pie makers who stood out from 88 entrants vying for top honours. Under the scrutiny of 50 expert judges, pies were assessed for taste, touch, appearance and smell across multiple categories, from the beloved Scotch pie to football pies and savouries, macaroni pie, steak pie, sausage roll, hot savoury, vegetarian savoury, haggis savoury, bridie and apple pies. This year also introduces two exciting new categories, lighter options and retailer pie product of the year, showcasing the industry's continuous evolution and innovation. The winner of the Scotch Pie category will be crowned world champion alongside all best in category winners at an awards lunch on May 10th at the Hilton, Glasgow. Coastal Defences Put Under Focus by Mark Dowie. The wartime coastal defences of the East Coast was the subject for discussion at Forfar Probus's latest meeting. Award-winning author Margaret Bowman was welcomed by members to present her latest book, a factual follow-up volume of her earlier work, Lost Airfields of Angus. Her new work on the Tay Estuary involved intensive, wide-ranging research describing, through interviews and photographs, the threat posed to the east coast of Scotland during both world wars and the defences necessary to repel invaders, especially after the occupation of Norway and Denmark in 1940. Margaret covered both the North Shore from Budden Ness upriver, past Carnoustie, East Haven, West Haven, Monifieth, Broughty Ferry, Dundee and Errol, then back downriver from Newborough on the South Shore through Wormwood, Newport, Tayport, Tentsmuir, Lookers and St Andrews to Fife Ness. During her talk, she detailed the locations of army bases, submarine pens, seaplane slipways, shipyards, dockyards, signal stations, pillboxes and tank traps, emphasising the importance of coastal batteries, block ships, submarine nets, mines, trenches, machine gun emplacements and searchlights positioned all around the estuary. Band's Welcome Return. On Sunday, May 4th, Arbroath Accordion and Fiddle Club will welcome back Clappy Doo as its guest band. Clappy Doo are a trio of well-respected musicians who have appeared on BBC's Take the Floor and who have also performed at many corporate and private events throughout the country. SEPA Fine for Trader by Mark Dowie. An Angus waste carrier is among several businesses fined by the SEPA agency for operating illegally. The £300 civil penalties were served on unregistered waste carriers, which advertised their services online as part of its continuing effort to disrupt lower-level waste criminality. One was caught transporting controlled waste without a waste carrier registration, while three others failed to provide legally required waste information when required by the regulator. The Digital Interventions Project Enforcement launched last year is supported by Scottish Government funding as part of the National Litter and Fly Tipping Strategy, which is helping SEPA to detect and disrupt waste crime online before it escalates into more serious criminality. Through social media investigations and public information, SEPA has identified unlicensed operators across Scotland, including Andrew Mulholland of Carnoustie, trading as Andy's Man and Van Services, who failed to provide legally required waste transfer information. Dobby's joins up with Alzheimer's Research UK by Mark Dowie. Dobby's Garden Centres is hosting its very special free Grow How event in its Monifieth store this May, in partnership with Alzheimer's Research UK to mark Dementia Action Week, May 19th to 25th. Dobby's is highlighting the benefits of garden living for brain health and raising vital funds to find a cure for dementia through this free-to-attend workshop at the store. Gardening is ideal to highlight as it is a hobby that can help look after brain health, physical activity, learning new skills and keeping connected with others are just some of the things that can be done to help reduce the risk of dementia. The event Love Your Lawn will take place on Saturday, May 3rd and Wednesday, May 7th at 10:30 a.m. and 3:30 p.m, giving customers of all ages and gardening abilities the chance to learn something new or finesse their skills. 100k raises 2.4k. Arbroath man Blaine McNally recently undertook an endurance run to raise money for a local mental health charity. Blaine 30 of Clapham Wynd undertook the run on March 16th, completing it in stages around Arbroath, clocking up 100 kilometres, more than 62 miles. After collecting his sponsor money, he amassed the fantastic sum of £2,484 via his Just Giving page. Last week, he presented his cheque to Ian Wren and Stephen Dalgleish from mental health charity Reach Across. Based in Arbroath, the organisation voluntarily provides help and support for people who are experiencing mental health issues. It actively plans events and fundraisers to ensure that the people who need help can receive all the support possible. Yoga session for pool funds. A group of yoga enthusiasts gathered in Arbroath at the weekend to help raise funds for the Arbroath Sea Pool project. The group met near Beacon Green for a session to raise funds led by instructor Pamela Laird, whose studio at QI at the Quay is within the former visitor centre near Arbroath Harbour. The project was launched in 2022 and aims to provide a sea pool at Inchcape Park Beach, which will be a free facility allowing swimming at any time of the day. Various events, including discos and further yoga sessions, are planned to raise funds for the project. After the yoga session, some of those attending enjoyed a dip in the sea, where the outdoor tidal pool is planned. The yoga session raised approximately £150 towards the project's funds. Karen will be Chewing the Fat with Angus Audiences by Kevin McRoberts. Comedian, actor, writer, DJ and star of Chewing the Fat, Karen Dunbar, is set to embark on a brand new tour which includes shows in Angus. The epic 80-date tour will visit Montrose Playhouse on Saturday, May 3rd, Comrie Hall, Carnoustie on Saturday, August 30th, Brechin City Hall on Friday, October 10th, and the Abbey Theatre, Arbroath on Saturday, November 22nd. All four shows are at 8:30 p.m. This is a new show for 2025 and it sees Karen sharing stories from her life and talking about her career with, as you would expect from a stalwart of the Scottish comedy scene, a heap of humour and jokes. This is Karen's fourth tour with Aberdeen-based promoters Breakneck Comedy since 2023. And as Breakneck Comedy founder Naz Hussain explains, it's their most ambitious to date. This is the biggest tour we've ever organised and I'm delighted that we're working with Karen for it. Angus Venues Shortlisted for National Pub Awards by Kevin McRoberts. Operators of two Angus venues are among more than 250 businesses to be nominated for a National Pub and Bar Award. The Birkhill Inn and the Picture House Montrose have been shortlisted for recognition at the award ceremony in London in June. In a change-up to previous years, the 94 county winners will be announced live at the event, as well as highly commended venues for each area. In total, 256 pubs and bars have been shortlisted throughout England, Wales, Scotland and Northern Ireland. The aim of the National Pub and Bar Awards is simple, said Tristan O'Hanna, editor of Pub and Bar magazine, which runs the event. We want to showcase how brilliant these businesses are and how valuable pubs and bars are to the fabric of society across the whole of the UK. The Birkhill Inn, or Birky as it's known locally, is a family-owned restaurant and bar popular with both villagers and visitors. Its extensive menus are made with fresh produce and cooked in-house, and its famous Birky steak pie is a big favourite. The original inn dates back to 1870. The family-friendly venue also has a play area, while the traditional pub shows live sports and has a pool table, darts board and well-stocked bar. The Picture House pub and restaurant in Montrose has a friendly atmosphere and offers a full food menu, live music and big screens for watching sports events. The venue, previously the King's Cinema, is popular with a broad cross-section of the town's residents. With light fittings that look like giant upturned ice cream cones and decorative clapper boards, projectors and movie reels all around the tall bar, the pub pays homage to its origins. Six Tayside Finalists in National Nursing Awards by Kevin McRoberts. Tayside nursing staff from across a range of services have been recognised for their exceptional contributions to nursing in Scotland. NHS Tayside has six finalists across five categories in the Royal College of Nursing Awards 2025. The school nursing service has been shortlisted for the Children's Nursing and Midwifery Award, which recognises those who have made an outstanding contribution to the care of children or young people or the care of mothers-to-be and new parents. The dedicated, compassionate team provides innovative, high-quality care for school-age children and young people across Tayside, supporting children in 10 priority areas including mental health, child protection, care-experienced youth, homelessness, substance use, sexual health and domestic abuse. Clinical educator Gwen Gordon has been named as a finalist for the Learning in Practice Award, which celebrates those who provide supervision and assessment, create high-quality learning environments, act as a role model and enable and support learning and development. Nominated for her outstanding mentorship and advocacy for internationally recruited nurses, Gwen provides clinical and professional training and offers emotional and practical support to nurses transitioning to life in the UK. In the Nursing Support Worker of the Year category, Catherine Third, known locally as Irene from Lochleven Health Centre, was shortlisted as an exceptional healthcare support worker, leading with compassion, empathy and commitment. There are two Tayside teams in the finals of the Nursing Team of the Year Award, the Ninewells Hospital Acute Medical Unit Nursing Team and the Angus Urgent Care Advanced Nurse Practitioner Team. This award aims to recognise that great nursing is often delivered in teams and in close partnership with multidisciplinary colleagues or even patients or stakeholders. The AMU nursing team at Ninewells is described as a model of exceptional teamwork and dedication, providing high-quality, patient-centred care in a high-pressure environment, demonstrating clinical expertise, resilience and adaptability, and working collaboratively to manage a high volume of patients with complex medical needs. The team effectively manages workloads through streamlined care pathways and fosters a supportive work environment. The Urgent Care ANP team, which is part of Angus Health and Social Care Partnership, provides timely, high-quality urgent care to more than 10,000 patients annually. The team is fully integrated into primary care, collaborating with GPs, practice staff and other healthcare providers to ensure seamless care. Starting as a pilot in a single GP practice, the team expanded rapidly across the region, helping to reduce waiting times, improve patient satisfaction and reduce GP workloads. The team's success is evident in fewer hospital admissions and improved continuity of care. And there's some lovely photographs of all the nominees for the awards. So Forfar still not quite safe from relegation playoff. Forfar Athletic passed up the chance to secure their place in League Two when they lost at home to bottom of the league Bonnyrigg Rose on Saturday. Victory at Station Park for the Loons would have put them out of Bonnyrigg's reach, but a 2-0 win for the visitors means Forfar still have some work to do in the last two games. 4 points currently separate the two teams at the bottom, so Forfar still have their fate very much in their own hands, but they'll be hoping to get the job done this Saturday at Edinburgh City to avoid a nail-biting last day. Manager's Award for Joint Bosses by Kevin McRoberts. Joint Arbroath bosses David Gold and Colin Hamilton were last week announced as Scottish League One Glens Managers of the Month after ending March undefeated. The Red Lichties picked up 14 out of a possible 18 points across six fixtures in March, claiming victories over Annan Athletic, Dumbarton FC, Alloa Athletic and Cove Rangers, and one-all draws with Kelty Hearts and their second outing against Dumbarton. It was a month which played a big role in ensuring the club secured the League One title. Colin Matthews, CEO of Glen's owner, the Loch Lomond Group, said David Gold and Colin Hamilton have delivered another strong performance this month. With four victories secured alongside two draws, the pair widened the gap between second-place Cove Rangers to retain the club's position at the top of League One table, making them worthy winners of the Glens Managers of the Month award for the second time this season. Congratulations to David, Colin and everyone involved at Arbroath. I'm looking forward to watching their performances during the final matches of the season. David Gold and Colin Hamilton said, "We're extremely proud to have been chosen as Managers of the Month for March and want to thank the players and our backroom room staff for their part in the success. To go a whole month with six games unbeaten, particularly at such a crucial stage of the season, is a fantastic achievement, and ultimately this run has helped us secure the league title. Grassroots programme is now showing success," by Alan S. Morrison. Strathmore has just completed one of the most successful seasons in the rugby club's history. The seeds were sown years ago when it began its grassroots player development programme and made the strategic decision to invest in becoming a community hub and asset. The pinnacles of the club's on-field success this season has been seeing the first 15 lifting the Arnold Clark National League Division 4 title with 16 wins from 16 games. They scored 690 points in games while only conceding 223 and dropped only one bonus point out of a possible 18. The Sharks junior section picked up honours too, with the under-16s winning their league, national bowl and national plate finals, while the under-18s were runners-up in their league and national plate final. Adam Wood has been selected for the Glasgow Warriors under-16 squad, while Struan White joins the Scotland under-18 training camp. Meanwhile, seven Sharks from both the male and female sides have been selected for the Caledonia Regional Pathway in the under-15 and under-16 age group. The Sharks' achievements are not only a credit to themselves, but also to their coaching team, and with participation numbers having grown to 190 youngsters, the future is looking good. The talent conveyor belt has had a significant impact on all three senior teams, two men's and one women's, with the clubs consistently fielding three senior teams. All three have fielded ex-Sharks this year, and Strathy women will benefit next season from Eva Finney playing in Canada over the summer. And lastly, an early decision on City manager by Brian Yule. Ray McKinnon's spell in charge of Brechin City has been made into a permanent one, after a unanimous decision by the club's board. The former Dundee United, Aberdeen, Nottingham Forest and Montrose midfielder returned to Glebe Park as interim manager in March following the sacking of Patrick Craig. McKinnon, who has himself dismissed by Forfar Athletic in November, was certainly no stranger to the club, having previously taken the reins from 2012 to 2015. The 54-year-old has also been in charge at old clubs Dundee United, Raith Rovers and Lochee United, as well as the likes of Greenock Morton, Falkirk and Queen's Park during his career. McKinnon won 8 of his 9 games in charge this season, which included a 2-0 victory at eventual champions Brora Rangers and City's first ever win at Fort Martin United. However, that one defeat to Inverurie Loco Works would prove costly, as City missed out on winning the Highland League title on goal difference for the second year in a row.
Hello, this is Gwen McIntosh, reading from the Angus County Press, dated Thursday 1st of May 2025. Positive View of Services by Mark Dowie. Children at risk of harm in Angus are being supported effectively and with improved life chances, according to a new report released this week. Angus Community Planning Partnership has received a positive evaluation following a recent assessment by the Care Inspectorate for its support services. The joint inspection awarded a rating of very good for the impact of services delivered by the partnership, which includes Angus Council, NHS Tayside, Angus Integrated Joint Board, Police Scotland and a wide range of third sector organisations. This multi-agency work is overseen by the Angus Chief Officers Group for Public Protection, which works collectively to ensure a coordinated, safe and supportive response to children and families across the county. The inspection, carried out between September 24 and March 25, involved listening to the experiences of children, young people, parents and carers, The report highlights the major strengths and how partners across services in Angus are working together to make a positive difference in the lives of children and young people at risk of harm. Strengths featured in the findings include children and young people were being kept safe as a result of effective support. Children and young people were able to participate meaningfully in decisions that affect their lives. Most had trusting, positive relationships with staff, helping get them support when needed. Children and young people's well-being was improving as a consequence of early help and preventative approaches. Universal and third sector providers are working well together to ensure Timia's support. Life chances for most children and young people were improving as a result of the support they were receiving from a range of services. A confident, well-trained workforce were effectively reducing risk for children and young people. Two main areas for improvement were identified that the partnership will work on. The report found a range of services were providing children and young people with support to meet their emotional needs. However, not all children and young people had timely access to support to address mental health and well-being concerns. The partnership were taking action to address challenges in recruitment and retention, which were affecting the continuity of some relationships. Backing for Families Petition. North East MSP Tess White has urged legislators to make non-fatal strangulation, NFS, a standalone criminal offence after the death of an Aberdeen University student. Emily Drouet died in 2016 after she was subjected to a campaign of abuse and violence by her boyfriend, who was a fellow student. Her mum, Fiona, started a petition calling on Scots law to recognise NFS, even in the absence of physical injuries, so perpetrators could be charged and prosecuted. Scotland is alone in the UK as not having an NFS law. At Holyrood's Petitions Committee this week, Ms White backed moves to progress the petition to the Criminal Justice Committee, which scrutinises new legislation. The Scottish Conservative told members unwanted sexual choking and non-fatal strangulation in cases of domestic abuse is pervasive among women, particularly women under the age of 40. Non-fatal strangulation must be a standalone offence. Historically, aggravators have not been applied consistently, and without the creation of that offence, nothing is likely to change, despite any attempts that might be made to educate. Having a legislative add-on would actually minimise the severity and the seriousness of this particular crime, not only for victims and survivors, but for perpetrators. Ms White added, "It is absolutely clear to the committee that we must tackle this pernicious problem before more lives are irreparably damaged and lost. The lives and safety of young women and girls depend on it, so I thank the committee for recommending that they take evidence and progress the petition." Memorial Day for Workers by Mark Dowie. A moving ceremony was held in Forfar on Monday to mark International Workers' Memorial Day. The event, held at the International Workers' Memorial Tree and Bench at Forfar Community Campus, brought together community members, trade unions, elected representatives and young people to remember those who have lost their lives due to work-related accidents and diseases and to fight for safe and healthy working conditions for working people throughout the world. Speeches were given by Angus Council leader Councillor George Meehan, Roy Beattie from Unison and George Ramsay from Unite, as well as a wreath-laying ceremony and music from Piper Alex Link from Webster's High School. A minute's silence was also held to allow for reflection on the human cost of unsafe workplaces. and to reaffirm the commitment to improving health and safety for workers across the world. Mr. Meehan said, "This annual event is a reminder that behind every workplace fatality is a family, a community, and a loss that could have been prevented. We stand here not only to remember, but to reaffirm our collective commitment to safer, healthier working environments for everyone." Ian Tasker, senior advice worker with Scottish Hazards, praised the ceremony's relevance. He said, "This was my first time attending the event in Forfar. It was an outstanding and moving memorial organised by Angus Council, young people and trade unions. Thanks to everyone involved." Kerry Ready to Welcome Arrival of AC/DC Fans by Mark Dowie. Kerrymuir is bracing itself for the annual influx of heavy metal fans this weekend for the town's annual Bonfest. AC/DC fans from around the world will converge on the town for its 3-day celebration of Bon Scott, which gets underway on Friday. Bonfest will bring folk from a host of countries, many making their annual pilgrimage to the town where the AC/DC front band spent part of his childhood. AC/DC themed shop windows are already providing a backdrop ready for the weekend's celebration. And the recent appearance of the main arena tent on Kerry Showfield was the signal for the event's official countdown. Organisers DD8 Music have promised this year's festival will be the biggest and best yet. In February, they announced the main tent lineup had been boosted to 4 bands on each of the 3 nights. It is also sure to whet the appetite of fans who have bagged a ticket for AC/DC's first Scottish gig in a decade, with a date in Edinburgh's Murrayfield Stadium during their Power Up tour in August. Thousands of fans will be treated to music sessions in Kerry in town centre pubs. Saturday afternoon's recreation of AC/DC's Long Way to the Top video is always popular. Forfar venue for championship. Forfar Community Campus was the venue at the weekend for the 2025 Scottish JKA WF Senior Cadet and Junior Karate Championship. The event brought together practitioners from 10 karate clubs from around the country to take part in the highly competitive and well-organised event. The championship event officially started at 9:15 a.m. with Piper Sandy Johnston leading the competitors into the hall. Sandy of the Lochaberan District Pipe Band also happens to be a black belt in Shotokan Karate, having trained with Billy Wales at his Shotokan Karate School in Arbroath. Competitions were held across categories for juniors, cadet and seniors, hosted by Forfar-based Brothock Shotokan Karate Club, one of the longest established martial arts clubs in Angus. £1 Deal Price Cut by Mark Dowie. To kickstart its 60th birthday celebrations, Asda has announced it will be cutting the price of its popular Kids Eat for £1 Cafe Meal Deal to just 60p from May the 1st to the 31st. The initiative will be available in Asda cafes across Scotland, with over 9 different meals to choose from, including penny pasta with meatballs, chicken nuggets, fish fingers and margarita pizza. In addition, children will receive a free piece of fruit, such as an apple, pear or banana, when purchasing the Hot Kids 60p meal deal. The popular meal deal was first launched for £1 in Asda in June 2022 for under 16s to enjoy a hot meal. Since then, the retailer has served over 6 million meals to children nationwide. The initiative aimed originally to support parents across the school holidays to help manage their budgets, with the meal deal becoming a lifeline to many and being rolled out year-round in 2023. To support families even further, Asda will drop the price of the kids' £1 meal deal to just 60p for the entire month of May. For example, a family with 4 children can feed them all a hot meal for less than £2.50. The deal has no minimum spend requirements or the need to purchase an adult meal to unlock the offer. As an alternative to a hot meal, Asda cafes also offer a £1 cold pick and mix selection that includes a sandwich, drink and piece of fruit. The menu includes new treats such as a jelly pot with whole fruit pieces or a jelly squeeze pouch as an alternative to a pack of crisps. This will also be reduced to 60p. Ian McEvans, Vice President, Commercial Food at Asda, said that the scheme has been beneficial to families across the UK and the new offer will help to further reduce pressure on budgets. Bucket List Ab Sale. Angus thrill seekers are being urged to sign up for a fundraising bucket list event for Chest, Heart and Stroke Scotland. One of Scotland's most thrilling fundraising events, the Forth Bridge Ab Sale, is back for one time only in 2025. Daredevils are being encouraged to sign up for the chance to descend from the UNESCO World Heritage Site. The event, run in partnership with Network Rail and Balfour Beatty, will take place on September 28th. The charity supports the 1 in 5 people across Scotland living with chest, heart and stroke conditions to live their lives to the full, and aims to reach 175,000 people per year by 2028. Last year, almost 800 braved the bridge across two events, raising over £390,000 for all participating charities. Heather McMahon, CHSS Community Event and Corporate Fundraising Manager at Chest, Heart and Stroke Scotland, said, "The Forth Bridge Ab Sale is the biggest fundraising event of the year for us, with hundreds of people taking part to Ab Sale from this iconic location to raise funds for their chosen charity. This is the ultimate thrill-seeking challenge, backed up with spectacular views across the Firth of Forth. We'd urge anyone looking to challenge themselves for good to sign up today." Alan Ross, Network Rail Scotland's Director of Engineering and Asset Management, added, "The bridge's distinctive architecture and impressive height provide a stunning backdrop for this challenge. As custodians, it's a privilege to offer people the chance to experience it from such a unique perspective and make unforgettable memories." Colin Hardy, Construction Superintendent at Balfour Beatty, said, "Since it launched over 20 years ago, the Ab Sale event has raised millions for those living with chest, heart and stroke conditions and long COVID. We look forward to making this year's the biggest and most successful to date." Association celebrates 75 years. The Angus Bowling Association marked its 75th anniversary at the weekend with a special event in Arbroath. Past presidents of the association gathered for a celebratory brunch in Arbroath Bowling Club. President Gary Milne welcomed the guests and, after a delicious lunch, introduced the afternoon's guest speakers, Darren Burnett and John Robotham. An honorary life member, Darren has a considerable record for bowling internationally, representing Scotland 3 times in the Commonwealth Games and a 4-time medalist at the World Bowls Championship. John gave a humorous talk on his life as a football referee. A vote of thanks was given by David Strachan. Station's Future Questioned by Mark Dowie. Broughty Ferry councillor Kevin Cordell has written to Scottish Fire and Rescue Service, SFRS, Area Commander Brian Todd, seeking clarity on a review of resources which could threaten the future of the town's Balmossie Fire Station. The service is currently carrying out a review which includes numbers of staff, appliances and stations, and it has been confirmed that Balmossie Station is among the more than 20 locations being considered for change. The station has come under threat several times in the last decade, most recently in 2017, but its future was secured when ambulance crews moved into the premises alongside the brigade the following year. Following an options appraisal process, a public consultation is planned for summer. BSL introduced at rail stations. Scotland's Railway has made rail services more accessible for all with the installation of new British Sign Language BSL totems at four major stations across the country. The totems, which provide real-time travel information in BSL, have been installed at Dundee, Glasgow Queen Street, Edinburgh Waverley and Haymarket stations. By using a virtual interpreter to translate key travel updates and station announcements into BSL, the innovative digital displays ensure that deaf BSL users can have access to the same information as hearing passengers. The totems also include touch screens, allowing users to request specific information in their preferred language. Installation of the totems follows a programme of work by Network Rail to introduce BSL customer information screens at Edinburgh Waverley and Glasgow Central last year, making them the first stations in the UK to have BSL on the main departure boards. ScotMed Boost for Soup project. Brechin's Soup initiative has received a welcome boost thanks to a surprise donation from ScotMed, presented as part of the Society's winter funding programme. Chairperson Liz Howson and Vice Chair Mike Harris visited the Brechin store recently to meet with manager Gary Drummond to receive vouchers to support the initiative's work. These will help to cover the cost of ingredients needed to continue providing weekly soup deliveries to local people facing food insecurity. The initiative supports individuals and families across the area who would benefit from a nutritious meal delivered with care by volunteers. From those living alone to households struggling with the cost of living, the group's simple idea is making a big difference. ScotMed has supported the project on several occasions, recognising its huge impact in the local community. Free bus travel on offer for guide dogs by Mark Dowie. Guide dogs trainers and their charges can now travel for free on any stagecoach service in Angus, thanks to a new partnership between the company and the Guide Dogs for the Blind Association. Trainers simply need to show their guide dog's ID badge when accompanied by a dog or puppy in training to receive free travel on any stagecoach bus across Angus, Dundee, Fife and Perth and Kinross. David Friends, Stagecoach East Coast East Scotland Operations Director, said, "We're proud to be working with Guide Dogs to offer trainers free travel on our services." Guide Dogs Puppy Development Advisor Joan van Eich added, "We are delighted to have had this opportunity to work with Stagecoach East Scotland on an exciting new initiative that will be an incredible help to our dog training staff and volunteers. To create successful life-changing guide dog partnerships, our dogs need to feel calm and confident using public transport from an early age. This collaboration, which also included sighted guide training for drivers, will make a real difference to people living with sight loss across the region." Guide Dogs is currently recruiting more volunteer puppy raisers to join their pack.
Angus County Press, Thursday, May the 8th, 2025. Fiona here. Rack options are revealed. Angus Council could replace the roofs on 25 rack-affected homes in Monifieth as details of a previously private options appraisal is finally revealed. A special meeting of Angus Council has been scheduled for today. That's the 8th of May. On the agenda is a report detailing the options available to the local authority to address the problem posed by reinforced, aerated, autoclaved concrete, otherwise known as RAC. The potentially hazardous material was commonly used in the construction industry in the 1960s and 1970s. However, concerns over its limited lifespan have prompted fears of structural collapse in extreme cases if water gets through cracks. Angus Council say 25 of the 26 homes they own in Milton Street in Monifieth have been identified as containing RAC. The options appraisal detailed the five possibilities on the table for the Milton Street homes. These were limited additional edge support to rack panels, enhanced support to rack panels flat roof, rack panels retained, protected by new pitched roof, remove rack, install new flat roof with timber structure. Lastly, remove rack, install new pitched roof with timber structure. The preferred option is to remove the rack panels and install new flat roofs. It is hoped this will completely remove the risks associated with the material and create a new roof insulated to current standards. The cost of the potential works has not been revealed. Water Butt Initiative. Primary schools across Angus are set to benefit from a practical sustainability initiative that aims to inspire young minds while helping to cut water usage. As part of its commitment under the Public Sector Scotland framework, Water Retailer Business Stream has provided free water butts to 11 primary schools across the county. The water butts, which capture and store rainwater for outdoor use, are expected to save up to 2,000 litres of water a year in each school. Sophia Goring, the company's head of environmental, social and governance, said, "This innovative water-saving project not only helps schools reduce water consumption, but also provides a practical, hands-on learning opportunity for young students to understand environmental sustainability. By introducing water butts into primary schools, we're empowering the next generation to become environmentally conscious citizens." In Angus, the butts will be going to Ferryden Primary School, Lochside Primary School, Hayshead Primary School, Muirfield Primary School, Lethem Primary School, Grange Primary School, Mattox Primary School, Seaview Primary School, Northmuir Primary School, Airlie Primary School and Newtile Primary School. Each school is encouraged to locate and secure their water butt in a safe and practical area, ensuring it supports outdoor learning and gardening activities while adhering to health and safety guidelines. Concern over consultation. The Scottish Government has approved more than 235 towering pylons, wind farms and battery storage developments, but only rejected 8 over the last 3 years, amid concerns rural areas are becoming industrial jungles, a regional MSP has said. New figures show the Energy Consents Unit has given the green light to 236 separate applications for major electricity schemes across Scotland since May 2022. It follows widespread concerns that the Scottish Government is bypassing the concerns of communities who feel imprisoned by pylons, wind farms and battery storage plants. The Energy Consents Unit is a government body that makes decisions on large-scale electricity projects which exceed 50 megawatts. Scottish Conservative Shadow Energy Secretary Douglas Lumsden, who has campaigned against a 70-mile pylon scheme between Kintore and Teeling, in his constituency said, "The high approval rate of applications compared to those being rejected cements my fears that areas of our countryside are being railroaded into industrial jungles. SNP ministers have no understanding of the magnitude of this issue and are treating our rural communities as an afterthought by not engaging with them during the planning process. Supporting our rural communities also means protecting our beautiful landscape and ensuring it is not damaged by new energy infrastructure. Additions to Skyline. The Brechin Skyline has two striking additions following the installation of new pagodas at Glencadam Distillery. The addition of the Doig ventilators signals a significant milestone in the development of the new state-of-the-art Scotch Whisky Visitor Centre. Set to open later this year in celebration of the distillery's 200th anniversary, work has been ongoing at Glencadam over the last 12 months to develop a new visitor centre. Single malt Scotch whisky has been crafted in Brechin in a process that's remained unchanged for two centuries. As part of the construction, key architectural features of the distillery have been reimagined to pay homage to its treasured traditions, including the iconic pagoda roofs. Inspired by the original Charles Doig architectural drawings from the distillery's archive, the new features have been reinterpreted as skylights. An ornamental spire and bowl replicating the original Doig design has been added atop each ventilator. Linear Design and Construct were appointed to carry out the project. Museum open for season. The Tayside Police Museum has reopened for the 2025 season. The museum is located on the ground floor of Kirriemuir Police Office at 15 Reform Street, Kirriemuir, and is run by a dedicated group of volunteers, including retired Tayside police officers and members of Kirriemuir Heritage Trust. The museum has a vast array of items and exhibits preserving the history of policing in Angus, Dundee and Perth. Its aim is to preserve the heritage and history of policing in those areas that now form the Tayside region, that is Dundee City, Angus and Perth and Kinross. It is open on Thursdays, Fridays and Saturdays from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. with the last entry at 2:30 p.m. to allow visitors time to see the items on display. There are reviews on TripAdvisor and details can also be found at www.facebook.com/Tayside Police Museum Kirriemuir. Royal Marines Angus Concert. The band of His Majesty's Royal Marines Scotland will march into Angus later this month for a special concert in aid of Armed Forces charity Poppy Scotland. Taking place on Saturday, May the 31st at Montrose Town Hall, this spectacular performance will include a variety of contemporary and classical music, will be led by Director of Music, Captain Anne Miller. Richard Todd, Poppy Scotland Events fundraising manager, said, "We are grateful to be working with the band of His Majesty's Royal Marines Scotland as we grow the Poppy Scotland concert series. Their performances are always something special and we look forward to seeing them take to the stage in Montrose, a town that gives tremendous support to the armed forces community. We hope to see as many people as possible come along on the night and enjoy what the band has to offer. A huge thank you to our event sponsors and supporters, the Montrose Port Authority, E&M Horsburgh Limited, DHL Supply Chain and Poppy's Community Cafe Montrose for allowing us to bring this wonderful concert to the town. All funds raised will go towards helping men, women and families with issues linked to their service or struggles adjusting from military to civilian life, including help with housing, debt, mental health and mobility. Tickets are priced at £17 for adults or £14 for concession and can be bought at www.poppyscotland.org/Royal-Marines-Band. Doors will open at 7 p.m. with the show starting at 7:30 p.m. Further information about Poppy Scotland can be found at www.poppyscotland.org.uk. New focus for Forfar Photoshop Business. A family-run printing retailer is back open for business in Forfar after closing its doors last summer. Forfar Photo Shop on the town's East High Street had served the local community with printing and photo services for 40 years before it closed its doors. Now, with a new owner also within the family, Craig Robertson has reopened the store with a new lease of life, providing a boost to the High Street area and local community. Craig, a former oil and gas worker, retired from his manufacturing career in 2020 following a stress-induced heart attack. Realising he was not yet ready for retirement, he started picking up shifts in Forfar Photoshop, which his, as well as believing in the importance of an in-person service, Craig decided to reopen in December. He said, "I retired from the oil industry in 2020 after having had a heart attack due to stress. I had a year or two out and decided I'm not quite ready to retire. The shop had been my brother's business for 35 years. He sold it to his son-in-law about 9 years ago, and it was closed for a bit last summer. I'd helped him out for a couple of years because he had young kids and his wife works shifts. As a result, I knew the business well and that it was quite busy. It was a shame when it was shut, so I decided to reopen it." Craig said that the shop's opening has been popular with customers who have been returning since its doors reopened at the end of last year. He continued, "I opened up in December and it's been doing really well. I'm pleased to be getting all the old customers back and new ones too." Father's Day fun event at Dobby's. This June, Dobby's Garden Centres is presenting a brand new way to celebrate Father's Day, combining a hearty Sunday roast with a hands-on grow-your-own herb planting workshop at the Moneyfeith store. The Father's Day Sunday lunch and planting experience will take place on Sunday, June 15th, from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. Guests can spend quality time together as they create their own potted herb container and enjoy a traditional roast lunch complete with all the trimmings. Funding will help to restore Angus Woodland. An Angus community project has won almost £5,000
in research funding from the Royal Society of Edinburgh and Williamson Trust to promote healthy living. Dronley Community Woodland will use the funding to transform parts of the existing woodland damaged substantially during recent storms. The project is one of 16 innovative community-led research projects across Scotland to receive funding from the organisations. A total of £73,625 has been given to a range of creative projects to foster healthy communities as part of the Healthy Planet, Healthy People Awards. Dronley Community Woodland receives more than 20,000 visits annually and is popular with walkers, runners, cyclists and horse riders. It also offers local employment, school visits, volunteering opportunities and courses. The group will create a diverse and mixed woodland edge by underplanting parts of the area with site-adapted broad-leaved tree species to increase biodiversity and weather resilience. Now, some sport news. Rogue Wheelnut denied Sandy a place on podium. Forfa driver Sandy Mitchell delivered impressive performances in the opening doubleheader of the GT World Challenge Europe Sprint Cup campaign. However, a rogue wheel nut ultimately denied him a potential podium at Brands Hatch. The 25-year-old, partnering teammate Hugo Cook in the NO78 Lamborghini Huracan GT3 EVO2, was one of the fastest drivers in Barwell's debut in the class. In qualifying, Mitchell posted the third quickest time, then held the quickest lap of the race at one stage of the opening 60-minute race. Starting from seventh, Cook was hit twice on the opening lap and had slipped to 11th when he pitted to hand the car to Mitchell with 34 minutes remaining. The former British GT champion immediately set about hauling in the 52 Ferrari in 10th, finally easing ahead on the final lap. Mitchell said, "The cars in this series are so close because of the balance of performance, and that, combined with the very high level of drivers and a tight circuit, made passing very difficult." Mitchell started the second one-hour race from third on the grid and immediately began the battle for second place. Having set what was then the fastest lap of the race, he hounded the second-placed 69 Ferrari for the opening 20 minutes. A full course yellow, followed by a safety car, stalled Mitchell's progress and erased his two-second advantage over fourth place. With 27 minutes remaining, he pitted from third to hand the Lamborghini over to Cook. Unfortunately, the pit crew had a problem when one of the car's wheel nuts spun out of the gun and caused a delay in the packed pit lane. They recovered quickly to limit the delay, but it did cost time and positions on track, with Cook bringing the car home in seventh. Scott delighted old side won the league. Scott Allen is delighted to see Arbroath back in the championship after his old side won the League One title. Allen left the club last summer to sign for division rivals Kelty Hearts, having only made 22 appearances in the previous two seasons for the Gayfield outlet. The 33-year-old told the Warm Up podcast, "I know one of the co-managers, David Gold, really well through the Edinburgh connection. He and Colin Hamilton came in obviously off the back of Jim McIntyre, and there were players
who came through with Dick Campbell over the last 10 years. They've implemented their own style of play, more attractive football, and some of the loan signings like Callum Penman and Fraser Taylor have been excellent for them. When you recrowned champions early on in the season, I think there were still 4 games to play, then it is fully deserved and it's good to see them back in the championship. Arbroath completed the campaign with a 1-1 draw at home to Queen of the South on Saturday. The visitors took the lead just before half-time through Rhys Lyon, but Ryan Dow equalised with 15 minutes to go. Arbroath then held on for a point despite Tam O'Brien being sent off 6 minutes from time. At the other end of the table, Montrose ended the season in 8th, just 4 points above the relegation playoffs. They hosted Inverness Caledonian Thistle on the final day with goals from Paul Allen and Billy Mackay, giving the Highland side a 2-0 win. Montrose boss Stuart Petrie told Montrose FC TV, "The match probably summed up our season a little bit. It's disappointing to finish at home with a defeat, but ultimately we've taken enough points to keep our League One status, which is always the main aim."
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
Hello, my name is Lindsay. I started producing topical items during lockdown to keep my neighbours entertained. All the recordings are made inside my cosy cabin for that extra sense of calm. And naturally enough, I called them Cabin Conversations. I hope you enjoy them. Cabin Conversations about International Tabletop Day. Tabletop or board games have been devised and played throughout the centuries, and on the first Saturday of June each year is a day to experience that simple pleasure of analogue entertainment. Perhaps the most ancient of these game mechanics relates to chess, backgammon, and Ludo. And the oldest known board game in the world is Senet, a board of 30 squares with play revolving around good or bad fortune. It was played in ancient Egypt approximately 5,000 years ago. Other civilizations of key board game generation are Mesoamerica, China, India, and Roman Italy. Although a 20th century classic must be Cluedo. Think of Birmingham in World War II and multiple air raids. Suddenly, Anthony E. Pratt, an English musician and factory worker, is experiencing a lot of downtime. He and his wife, Elva, became inspired to co-design a new style of board game. Pratt based ideas on private music parties, which tended to bring together clients who revelled in detective fiction, made popular thanks to Agatha Christie's novels and parlour games. In 1944, Pratt applied for a patent for his invention of a murder, mystery-themed game, originally called Murder. Then presented it to a games publisher, Waddington's, who changed its name to the now familiar title of Cluedo, a contraction of the words clue and Ludo. Despite the patent being granted in 1947, post-war shortages postponed the game's official UK launch until 1949. Just to add confusion, the Americans marketed the same board game as Clue. The object of Cluedo was to determine who murdered the game's victim, where the crime took place, and which weapon was used. Each player assumed the role of one of the six suspects. Reverend Green, Professor Plum, Miss Scarlet, Mrs. Peacock, Mrs. White, and Colonel Mustard. The latter two having been name changed from Nurse White and Colonel Yellow. In fact, originally there were 10 characters, with the addition of Mr. Brown, Mr. Gold, Miss Grey, and Mrs. Silver. Cluedo gameplay comprised of attempts to deduce the correct answer by strategically moving around a board representing the rooms of a mansion, and each room containing various tactile, tiny metal weapons such as a dagger, revolver gun, lead pipe, candlestick, etc. Interestingly, the design of the mansion was reputedly based on what was the Tudor Close Hotel in Rottingdean, Brighton and Hove. Therefore, early editions of the game possessed yet another title, Murder at Tudor Close. Researching visual impairment board games brought up a whole new understanding of what is actually available today. A lot of great classic games such as chess, draughts, backgammon, Ludo, Scrabble, and decks of playing cards, either with larger print or special pieces of often with braille additions to aid identification. So no excuse not to ask a friend over for a classic board game session. May you maintain long-term health and happiness in a fun way.
DNF Soundings.